Put our Bibles together to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, we're pausing our James study to talk today about our calling to serve. I want us to see that that is indeed true today, that we've all been called to serve. I want us to see that today, that serving is in the spiritual DNA of every believer in Jesus Christ. And today is a big day here in the life of the church. We do have, as Tommy mentioned earlier, a ministry fair that will be going on downstairs right after this service and right after the 11 o'clock service, with the goal that every member of the church can find their places of service in the church. In fact, as we think about it, it would be reasonable to us that for everybody to consider, Lord, could you use me in two different ways? Lord, give me a role in the body, but also give me a role in the community. Lord, give me a role to build up your body of Christ, but Lord, also give me a role where I can extend the reach of the gospel to those outside of these walls. That's what we mean by engage here. So if you've been around a while, you know we have our logo. It has those stacked blocks right here, even in your bulletin. We have those four E's going across your bulletin. And really, it would be a great thing you could use to evaluate yourself this morning. How am I doing? So encounter, when we talk about that, we're talking about worshiping God. And we can all say, man, I'm here. And we want to be committed to worshiping together privately and also together like this each week. And then encourage is what we're talking about, by finding your small group, finding your life group, and where you can know and be known, where you can encourage others. Look for that. But we're equipping all the while for action. But then we come to that word engage. And this is what we've always meant by that. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be useful to you in your kingdom. I want to serve in the body, and I want to serve in the world. And so all of us, may we have sensitive hearts today to look for where those roles are. I want us to see that serving is a normal dimension of the Christian life, and it's one of the most joyful dimensions of the Christian life. We're going to see that together. Now, I have us in a very interesting passage. It's Matthew 20, and we're going to learn together through an encounter Jesus had with two of his disciples and their mother. All right, maybe that triggers a memory for some of you, but here we go. Matthew 20, let's pick up in verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on one on your right and one on your left." And Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said to him, "We're able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the ten other disciples became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This would be a contender for the most embarrassing moment recorded in the Bible. So many things here are cringeworthy as we look at this, but we're going to learn from it. We're going to learn from it. First lesson we're going to learn from this really unusual encounter is this, that left to our own inclinations, you and I desire to be served rather than serve. Aside from the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you and I also desire to be served rather than to serve. So we look at this occasion, and we have James and John, two of the disciples, and their mom coming to Jesus, asking for positions of prominence and power. Now, we would know that this was a momentary lapse of James and John. Though we're going to have some fun with it today, really this one encounter doesn't define them. This was a bad day. But you and I have had bad days like this too, maybe more than one, where we lost all perspective and we started thinking that things really are about me and my comfort, and we were just as wrong as James and John. But sadly for them, theirs is recorded in the pages of Scripture. Every generation gets to look at this moment of failure. That they didn't stay there in that mindset, but man, it was a bad day. And here's a mom. She's just wanting a great thing for her boys, but it was terribly wrong, her perspective on what greatness is. And so Jesus turns all of their thinking right side up. That life is not about you and me being on top. Life's about us knowing God and serving God and serving other people. So let's notice this as we just look at their bad day. Let's understand this. First of all, their ambition was wrong. Their ambition was wrong. They were looking for personal greatness. And what they asked for, if you think about it, was quite audacious. Listen to this. Jesus, in the fullness of your kingdom, when it's all on display, I want my boys, of all the humans who've ever lived on the earth, of all the other people you could pick to be in these places of prominence, your right and your left, I want my boys at the top of everybody else. I mean, that's audacious. Not Moses, not Abraham, my boys. How about this? And not the other 10 disciples. Not those guys. Put my boys, right hand, left hand, places of authority in the fullness of your kingdom. It was a bad ask of the Lord. Now, some people live by that motto, it doesn't hurt to ask. But oh, it does, doesn't it? This was a bad ask. Sometimes what you and I ask for, what we're angling for, says a lot about our hearts, doesn't it? I bet they wish now they hadn't asked this. This was a bad ask. This ask revealed pride. They wanted personal glory. Do you hear anything here of, hey, we think from that place of prominence, we can do a lot of good for the world. It's really for the children. It's really for the world. You know, we're just here to serve. No. No, put my boys on your right and on your left, and they're right there along with it. Their ambition was wrong. Now, not all ambition's wrong, but this is selfish ambition. Remember, we saw it last week back in the book of James as we came to chapter 3, verse 14. Remember this? But if you have bitter jealousy, and here it is, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. So this thinking of put me on top, make me comfortable, serve me, that thinking, the scripture says, that's actually demonic thinking. That thinking of I should be first, I should be glorified, people should serve me, that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven along with all who followed him. Remember that? And so I don't want to have anything like that in me. And yet you and I, we can relate to the temptation. We would say along with James and John that left to myself, if the Spirit of God's not at work in my life or I'm not listening, then I can gravitate toward a thought of, I want to be in charge. I want my preference to matter more than other people's preference. I want to be approved and applauded and all that. Listen, it's not of God. So you and I in times like that should preach to ourselves. So what they should have done, James and John, is they had that very natural temptation, give us the top spots. They should have never let that out of their mouths, though. We've been talking about being slow to speak, guarding the tongue. Here it comes up again. They should have never said it. Temptation we can relate to, but they should have preached truth to themselves, just like you and I should do. So when we have that same desire, I want to be served. I want to be pampered. Why am I having to sacrifice here? We should go, Lord, you know what's going on in my heart. I bring that to you. What's wrong with me? Why am I gravitating back to me being the center of the universe? Lord, I repent of that. I don't want that to be true of me. I know that this life's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about your kingdom. We need to preach to ourselves. So their ambition was wrong. Notice this. Their timing was wrong. Now, I want you to notice with me what was being discussed right before they make this terrible request of the Lord from selfishness. They couldn't have been farther off. So we've been in Matthew 20, 20 and following. Now I want you to look at Matthew 20. Just go back a few verses. Matthew 20, 17. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. Listen to this. And they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up. This is the third time in the book of Matthew where it's recorded that Jesus was telling his disciples quite plainly, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. I am going to be crucified. That was taking place in chapter 16, chapter 17. Here we are in chapter 20, and James and John hearing none of it. Maybe they thought he's just speaking in hyperbole. He's just speaking in parables. And maybe even on this occasion, as he's talking about it, they're thinking, as soon as he finishes talking about this whole crucifixion thing, that'll be our moment. Let's ask for what we've come to ask. Maybe they were even rehearsing it in their minds. Okay, here's how we're going to say, hey, Mom, you jump forward and you say it. We'll be backing you up. This is how it's going to go down. Do you hear how tone deaf they were? Jesus is talking about a cross and suffering, and they're talking about getting a crown. Jesus is talking about being rejected and mocked and scourged and crucified, and they're asking for prominence, positions of comfort and power. It's a huge disconnect. It's a reminder to us that we say, Lord, I don't want to ever focus on me and trying to build up some kingdom of my own making. Lord, make me mindful only of your kingdom and your glory. In fact, when you and I think about what's my life all about, what's my life mission, our life mission should always be connected to the mission of Christ. Something's off if you have a mission statement for you that's very different than the mission statement of Christ. It's all about him. And our lives need to connect to him. Their ambition was wrong. Their timing was wrong. And then just real quickly, because this is fun, their method was wrong. If you ever do want a position of prominence and power, don't ask your mom to ask for it for you. I mean, that's probably the most embarrassing part of the story. We want to be great. Wouldn't it be cool to be on the right and left of Jesus when he's displayed in all his glory? Hey, Mom, help us out here, would you? He likes you. Oh, that's a bad mistake. That's just a bad mistake. Well, then we look at the real heart of this is they made the bad request. It's recorded in the scripture for our benefit because we're just as messed up as James and John were on this day. Now Jesus tenderly teaches them and he teaches us. No, it's not about you being served, but listen, Jesus calls us to suffer and to serve. Notice what he says to him, verse 22 again. You don't know what you're asking. That's the first thing he says. He doesn't tear into them. But he does patiently begin to teach them, you don't know what you're asking. And then he asks this, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Biblically, in context like this, when someone speaks of the cup, they're talking about a cup of suffering. In fact, it's the same phrase that Jesus used in Matthew 26, 39. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And they knew what that meant. You know, are you able to drink the cup? And they said, we're able. No, whatever's coming, we're able to do it. And then Jesus affirms, my cup you shall drink. In other words, you, James and John, you will indeed suffer because of me. And we know it was true. James was the first apostle martyred because of Jesus. He was killed for his commitment to Jesus. He was the first. Indeed, he did drink the cup that Jesus drank. And John suffered also because of Christ. He was imprisoned. He was exiled on Patmos. Remember from where he wrote the book of Revelation? They did suffer for Christ. But Jesus continues teaching there, verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself, all the disciples. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it's not this way among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, you can look at the Gentiles, you can look at the Roman Empire, and it's all about power. And when you're in a power spot, you exert that power for your own means. You lord it over people. He said, but this isn't how my kingdom operates. Jesus said, we have a whole different, completely different worldview, and we have a very different mission. In my kingdom, everybody serves. And Jesus says, I'm the first one. If anybody ever deserved to be served only, it would be Jesus. He left the glories of heaven to come to earth. He says, and in this first coming, it's all about serving. I've come to serve. Even I didn't come to be served this time through. I'm coming to serve. And then, did you notice? And to give my life as a ransom for many. There he is. He's going back to the cross. I'm going to be mocked, scourged, beaten, crucified. I'm giving my life as a ransom for many. This is why we say it's in our spiritual DNA to serve. Because here is our master, the one who caused us to be born again. It's all about serving others, giving his life. It's in our DNA. In fact, we've seen in our James series that this is how it works, that if we have genuine faith in Jesus, it always shows up in works, right? That something's defective in our claim to know Jesus if it doesn't show up in a desire to serve. And so it's in our very DNA. Now, to be served is fine in some areas of life. It's just not fine in the spiritual arena. It's fine in the supermarkets to be served. It's just not fine in the life of the church to have the mentality, I want to be served. So recently, Publix came in across the street, and I had the privilege of being there the night before they opened. There was a friends and family gathering. I was invited there to give a prayer, and I was glad to do that. It was neat to be there. And it was a big deal to see the new employees and their family members, and the CEO of Publix was there, and I just got to listen in after my prayer. I got to listen in to the vision of Publix. And one of the core values, one of the defining marks of Publix is this: their idea of customer service. They said, we want to treat every customer like a king or a queen. And that's been true since their founding. But isn't that nice? So I have no problem with that. In fact, I like it. And I've had a couple of times just to go in and pick up a few things at Publix, and they do customer service really well. And doesn't it feel good when somebody makes an attempt to treat you like a king or a queen? And in fairness, listen, Kroger does a great job with customer service. Now, the other night, I was at a supercenter I won't name, and I was there, and I was in this really terrible line for 30-plus minutes in line, and I had a chance in that miserable experience that night. It's usually better than that, but that night was really bad, and I thought, oh, Publix, they do it so much better, and Kroger, they do it so much better than this. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. It feels better to be served, you know, when they make it pleasant. That's just normal. And that's great for supermarkets. We want them to do that. But when we come to the life of the church, we don't want to think that way. In the church, who are we trying to treat like a king in the church? King Jesus. So it's not me. I don't want to be in the king role when I come here. I don't want everybody bowing down, oh, Jim, you're so wonderful. No, Jesus is the only one in that spot. So who's treated like a king in the life of the church? Oh, we're treating Jesus like a king. But then who does that make the rest of us? Hey, we're still going to treat each other great too, because that makes us children of a king. So how my orientation ought to be is not like, treat me like a king. No, I see you coming. You're a daughter of the king. You're a son of the king, and I want to treat you well too. So we come into church not just to attend, not just to be a spectator. No, we show up to give honor to a king, make sure he's pleased with what's happening here above all, and then we see these precious people that he's also caused to be born again into his family. And man, I want to treat you well. I want to serve you. I want to encourage you. And we should be doing that to each other. That's the mentality that you and I should have. And here's what's wonderful. As you and I have that service mentality to God and to other people, we find that there is great joy in that. In fact, it can become quite addicting. As you serve the Lord, and there's a joy in that, there's spiritual growth to be had only when you're serving, you desire to serve more. So here I'm in a role. This is one of my primary roles as pastor of the church, to study and to preach the word, but also to care for the flock, to lead. I have those roles. But I can tell you this, I want to serve more than I'm able. We have so many ministries going on in the church, I can't think of an exception of one that I don't want to serve in too. And so I have to hold back, because I do have kids and a wife, and I can't be gone all the time. But I hear about these ministries, and I want to do them. So I think about mission trips coming up, and we talk about mission trip. Oh, I'd like to go on that. You know, I can't go on all the mission trips. That'd be kind of selfish if I did. Other people need to go too. Or I hear about needs in the children's ministry, and I become aware of those things. Oh man, I wish I could take one of those spots and serve and meet that need. That'd be so awesome to pour in to the kids there. Or then I hear about something in the student ministry, and I think, man, I wish I could do that. What a strategic time in life with teenagers to be able to pour in and make disciples there. That would be great. Or the Tuesday night homeless Bible study down there near Monroe Park. Oh, man, I wish I could give up a Tuesday night. I've already got an obligation on Tuesdays, but, man, if it would be great if I could do that. Or the English clubs. I wish I could be at the one at Regency Square Mall and the one here. You see the impossibility of some of these desires I have? Or Friday night, the evangelism that goes on downtown and on the streets. I wish I could do that. And so as I think about it, the only way I could do all these things that I want to do would be to somehow somebody advance human cloning. But I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think there's some ethical concerns. But aren't you glad that's not God's design for his work to be done, that was somehow we clone ourselves? No, God's design is the body, that he brings people into his body, into local churches, and they function like different parts of the body. In fact, it even tells us in Ephesians 4 that a guy like me isn't supposed to try to do all the work. We're supposed to equip the saints for works of service. And so, yes, be like a player coach. I'm in the game. I'm serving. But raising up others and encouraging others, hey, let's go do this. There's a lot to be done. And there's a lot of joy in doing it. Let's go do this together. So Jesus taught that all of us are to serve. That none of us are in the role of coming merely to be served. That we were made for ministry. That we were saved for service. And though we may desire to sit in a seat of authority sometimes, he's called us to serve with humility. So let's don't think, I'm connected to Staples Mill. I attend there or I go there. Let's think, no, that's where I serve. I worship and serve there. I want to be serving that way. In fact, think with me again. I want to have a role of service in the body to build up the body, but I also want to think outside these walls, and I want to serve in the community, pointing people to Jesus. So here's the question today. Have you found your place? Oh, I love this about Staples Mill. There is a high, high percentage of God's people here serving. This is not a place where we're having to twist arms to try to get people to serve. So many are serving, but my question today, have you found your place? It may be true of everybody else, but maybe you're new to the church and you're thinking, this is perfect timing for me because I've been looking for my next step. I want to engage. Oh, I hope you find your place today. And that's why the ministry fair is going to be going on in just a little while, where you can ask questions. And here's good news. When you go down there, you're not committing just by asking a question. Something went wrong if they sign you up just because you asked a question. So you can just let them know, I'm just inquiring. And there might be two or three different ministries you take a look at. I wanted more information. And listen, let me encourage you to do that. So go to that ministry fair. If you can't do it, let me encourage you, like if you just got to go after this, use that connection card and just go ahead and let us know. I want to serve. I'm looking for my place. And I'd be interested in a couple of things, and somebody will be in touch with you because we don't want you to miss out on that. Psalm 100 says this, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And as you serve, more gladness is going to come to you. Then one final word before we go, and it's this. Did you notice in the text, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, but to give my life as a ransom for many. Before you can even think about serving others, you first need to receive what Jesus is offering to you. Jesus, I came to do this for you. I came to give my life as a ransom for you. I came to pay for your sins so that you don't have to be judged in the future. I've taken the judgment for you on the cross, and he came to give that to you. But what do you do when somebody's offering something good to you? How do you get it? You have to receive it. So Jesus, 2,000 years ago, gave himself on a cross. He died. He poured it all out for you on the cross and was raised on the third day, and now it's your move. Do you want him to forgive you? Do you want him to rescue you? Do you want him to save you today and on that day of judgment to help you pass safely through to eternal life? Do you want Jesus to do that? Then you need to ask him. Humble yourself. It takes humility. Lord, I know I can't save myself. I know I'm not good enough for heaven, but I know what you did for me. I'm asking you, Jesus, cleanse me of my sin. Take my life. You lead me from here on. I give over control to you. He will save you. He will forgive you. And then, as you grow in him, he's going to pull you into service where your joy will increase even as you serve others. Let's pray together. You are